Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and throughout the world, but also to welcome to this program four exciting, individual, provocative, intelligent, witty, clever performers who are going to show their verbal dexterity, their humorous ingenuity, as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four bright individuals are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Maria McCurlin. Would you please welcome all four of them? And seated beside me is Charlotte Davis, who's going to write down the scores as they come along and also blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Assembly Hall Theatre here in that delightful town of Tunbridge Wells. That gem in the garden of England, the county of Kent. And we're going to begin the show with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject I've got is pirates. Tell us something about pirates in just a minute, starting now.
Pi equals 3.142, and rates are things people hate paying. Pirates themselves are those unlicensed people who board ships that do not belong to them and attempt to take possession, possibly in order to sell the cargo. I have never met a pirate myself, and my meeting with people has been extensive. So they are not exactly commonplace pirates. I think that's about it. I mean,
so, Paul, you were the first to challenge.
An elegant conclusion.
Elegant conclusion. Hesitation. Yes. Right, Paul, you have 30 seconds. Tell us something about pirates, starting now.
It would be mistaken to think that pirates were something that happened a long time ago, because if you sail in the South Vietnamese seas, you are still liable, or indeed prone, to be attacked by pirates. They are devils. They come up behind the ship late at night. They've got cutlasses between their teeth, eye patches, and they've got little black and white spotted handkerchiefs on their head. The uniform hasn't changed for several years. And as they board the vessel, they come towards you, hissing terrible words under their breath, like ha ha, which is really
Clement challenge.
Aha, aha, two separate words. Aha.
What's your challenge, Clement?
Repetition
of what?
Ha.
No. Paul maintains he said aha.
No,
you think it was
say,
you think it was definitely ha ha. Right. So repetition of ha, and Clement, you have a correct challenge. 5 seconds, starting now.
Penzance is a very popular place for pirates. They do love Cornwall.
So, Clement speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now one ahead of Paul Merton, two ahead of Kit Hesketh-Harvey, and three ahead of Maria McCurlin. And Kit, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject is the circus. Tell us something about the circus in just a minute, starting now.
Angela Carter wrote a wonderful book, Knights at the Circus, about a character called Feathers, a real old slapper of the vaudeville stage of the early 19th century, a harlot with an enormous heart, very like Nicholas Parsons. But for me, the circus that is the most exciting is the Circus Maximus in ancient Rome, built all those years ago of wood. It quite frequently burnt down or tumbled its spectators to an early death there, by adding to the merriment. Who can forget Ben-Hur racing against Bill Him?
Paul, challenge.
I can forget.
But it's movies, and you like movies.
And so what's the challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
Not as funny as I thought it might be.
No, no.
My challenge, I mean.
I know what you meant. But Paul, the interruption was so delightful, especially your second remark. We give you a bonus point for that. But, Kit, you were interrupted, so you can carry on with the circus. 29 seconds available, starting now.
It was turned into stone by the Emperor Claudius, I think, and later Nero added seats. It carried right on until 1,000 years later, a whole millennium. Who can think that the dome...
Clement, challenge.
Two laters.
Two laters, yes. Thank you for rescuing me.
So, thank you.
Clement, you've got in on the circus, and you've gotten on somebody to the circus, I should say, and there are 20 seconds available starting now.
I used to think the circus was Piccadilly Circus until we moved to North London, when Oxford Circus had huge attractions to people coming past. You could arranged to get to the circus?
Poor talent.
I think there was a bit of hesitation.
There was a little hesitation there, yes.
I think that was it, just like that.
I think the benefit of the doubt, a bonus point.
You'll get them eventually.
Somebody tapped. Woman in red, fourth row.
So, you're trying very hard. Give him his bonus point. He's tried so hard. Paul, you have the subject with the correct challenge, and you have 6 seconds on the circus starting now.
I went to Bertram Mills Circus in 1963. My favourite act was the Tumbling Freuds. They were fantastic. Trapeze, one from the other.
Paul Merton was speaking as a whistle wing, got that extra point. He's now equal in the lead with Kit Hesketh-Harvey. And Maria, will you take the next round? Oh, yes, Maria. Live fast, die young. 60 seconds on that subject, starting now.
Live fast, die young, and have a good-looking corpse was a line attributed to the actor James Dean, I believe. And it's a philosophy that I have chosen to live my life by, although I may have left the last two a little bit late. The alternative is to live slow and die old. You may think that's incredibly boring, but cast your eye...
Kit Challenge.
I think I've just preempted your joke. Yes. I was going to say deviation. Look at Clement and Nicholas. You couldn't call them boring. They're fantastic fun. Have you seen them doing the tassel dance?
I'd like to.
To be fair to Maria, she was only expressing an opinion. And I agree with you. I mean, yes. Personally speaking, I disagree with the facts.
And you are a very good-looking corpse.
Oh, thank you. You are a rotten audience. Anyway, Maria, you have the benefit of the doubt. You keep the subject, and you have 40 seconds. Live fast, die young, starting now.
The performing person I was talking about earlier, I would doubt, did live fast, die young, and have a nice-looking, cadaverish thing going on, because he died in a motorcycle by a...
Kit Challenge.
Deviation. No, James Dean died in a motor car crash.
That's right, you did. So it's deviation, right.
Deviation, yes.
Right, thought it was hesitation, but you know, deviation is right as well. 27 seconds with you, Kit. Live fast, die young, starting now.
A lot of them in the 60s did that, didn't they? Jim Morrison and Janis Joplin, although she died on a ham sandwich, which is hardly living fast.
Paul Challenge.
Deviation. No, it was Mama Cass Elliot that died.
Oh, was it?
In a ham sandwich.
There's nothing exclusive about dying eating a ham sandwich. Not confined to any one person.
But that's actually not strictly true. She didn't die choking on a ham sandwich. She actually had a heart attack.
Mm. Mm. But that's the story that Kit's thinking of. She was eating a ham sandwich.
Obviously got it pitifully wrong.
So you're getting a little bit of...
She was a heroin overdose, was Janis Joplin.
Any more morbid thoughts while we're going here?
It's quite a morbid subject.
Yes, it is, I suppose, right. But, Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have 20 seconds on live fast, die young, starting now.
I think it's the sort of thing that people say if they've lived fast and died young, but otherwise I don't think it should really detain the rest of us very much. I think the whole purpose of life...
Clement Challenge.
I think twice.
Yep. Right. Clement, 12 seconds with you now. Live fast, die young, starting now.
Live fast, die young. What attracts me is the fast bit. I have been trying... not to eat anything for a very long time. It is extraordinarily difficult. Living, dying.
So, Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now equal in the lead with Paul Merton. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. So, will you take the subject now of how to separate the men from the boys? 60 seconds. Clement Challenge.
Hesitate.
I haven't said now yet.
Well, I meant you hesitated in saying now. You should have said now quite a long time ago.
But you can't get points at my expense.
I've noticed.
Oh, he's trying for his bonus points again. Give him another bonus point. Right, but Paul, the subject is how to separate the men from the boys. 60 seconds starting now.
Deeper voices.
Get new challenged.
With a hesitation, wasn't it?
It was a hesitation.
That's all I have to say.
That's all you have to say. Right.
You have 58 seconds on how to separate the men from the boys, Kit. starting now.
Algepan is always helpful, I suppose, or deep heat. You could try a cattle prod, or failing anything else, I suppose, a power hose, which you can...
Clement Challenge.
Two supposes.
You suppose.
Was I'm supposing? I'm
yes,
sorry.
You're supposing too much.
Thought,
Clement, you have 50 seconds. Tell us something about how to separate the men from the boys, starting now.
Who would want to?
I know a lot of women who would like to. Paul, you challenge.
A hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes. Paul, you have 47 seconds to take back how to separate the men from the boys, starting now.
Give them a medical.
Maria, you challenged.
Yeah.
What was your challenge?
He just stopped again.
He hesitated, my darling, and there you have got the subject. And you have 46 seconds for you to tell us something now. A woman's going to tell us something about how to separate the men from the boys.
There is no difference between men and boys. The only clue is the price of their toys.
This is obviously a round of statements. Maria, because your comment got a round of applause and a whistle as well, actually, we'll give you a bonus point for that.
Oh.
But Paul, you...
Well, it's deviation, isn't it? It's ignoring the whole process of puberty.
So
it's not that there's no difference between the men and the boys. There's a big difference. Well,
so what is your challenge?
So I have to produce internet pictures? Well, it's deviation. She
you
said
have
no,
you have the subject. 39 seconds. How to separate the men from the boys, starting now. Kit challenge.
Oh, dear, hesitation. But what's he leading us into?
I couldn't make another statement. That would be repetition.
Right, OK, fine. Kit, you have a correct challenge. 37 seconds. How to separate the men from the boys, starting now.
I suppose it's somebody who has the confidence just to sit back with total sang-froid, like Paul Merton, in silence. There is a man. We mere boys, like Maria and myself, minnow around in the shallows.
Maria challenge.
I'm not sure I want the good burghers of Tunbridge Wells to know my guilty secret.
No, as the listeners can't see you, I would agree that they would like to know that you are not don't look like a boy. So, Maria, you have the subject.
Oh, no.
25 seconds. How to separate the men from the boys, starting now.
I think the best way to separate men from the boys is to take a monkey wrench.
Paul, challenge.
Hesitation.
It was a hesitation. So, Paul, it's back with you. I never had so many challenges in one round in my life. Right. 21 seconds on how to separate the men from the boys, starting now.
Perhaps it's all down to experience, the passage of life as a mere teenager. I remember very well, I was a callow youth, wet behind the ears, had really no idea what this existence on the planet was all about. But now I am a fully grown man. I can look back on those innocent days and say to myself, well, you weren't perhaps a bad human...
Well, Kit, challenge.
Lots of perhaps is there.
Was
yes,
there?
Yes, perhaps.
I'm so sorry.
Oh. And Kit, you've got in with half a second.
Oh,
to go.
Really? Oh, I'm so sorry.
You have won no friends with that
I'm
challenge.
I'm sorry. I do beg your pardon.
But you have won the subject and half a second, how to separate the men from the boys, starting now.
The testicles?
Maria... Maria, you challenged.
I was trying to save his career by swearing like that on national radio.
So I think in view of what he said, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. So you have a quarter of a second on how to separate the men from the boys, starting now.
Super glue.
That's how you stick it.
So, Maria, you got that extra point for speaking of the whistle. It's a very even contest. Paul Merton and Kit Hesketh are there in the lead, but only one point ahead of Clement and two ahead of Maria. And Kit, it's your turn. So would you take this subject now of my burning regret? 60 seconds starting now.
My burning regret is that my career as an arsonist has not been recognised properly for the achievement that it is. Hemel Hempstead, do you remember? I was driving past on the M25, casually flicked a cigarette out of the window, and whoosh, up went Brunsfield. There was John Prescott and his marvellous department with a whole new acreage to play with. The Saatchi collection. What use was all that tat?
Full challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Kit doesn't smoke cigarettes. He threw a cigarette out the window. He doesn't smoke.
I didn't say it was mine.
That's right.
Oh, no, so he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't say it was his.
No, he didn't say it was his. And also, he may be a non-smoker, but he might have taken a fag for that occasion because he was establishing he was a bit of an arsonist.
He does give lifts to people who smoke.
Yeah. And what do these people think of you taking their cigarettes, throwing them out the window, and then setting fire to Hemel Hempstead?
Right.
Why have we not heard about this in the papers?
I've saved them from their terrible death.
Indeed.
But that wasn't your challenge, that,
no.
that he didn't set fire to Hemel Hempstead.
No.
It was that he doesn't smoke.
Yeah.
And he doesn't smoke,
no.
but he could have thrown a cigarette out of the window. And he didn't even say whether it was a lighter cigarette. Kit, you still have the subject. 38 seconds. My burning regret starting now.
Turn a prize-winning bilge. Much better to use it to warn the shivering pensioners of Deptford. I thought the elephant dung went up particularly well. Windsor Castle. I regret that they didn't give me the credit for that one. It was terribly inaffordable for Her Britannic Majesty to restore the great room. Now it's all shining and spanking new.
You're laughing because of the spanking, aren't you?
Oh, her Britannic Majesty spanking people up and down the St. George's Hall.
I know,
lovely notion, isn't it?
I think it might be another member of the family. Right, it's... So what is your challenge?
I have no... hesitation.
It was hesitation, yes. Right? 16 seconds, Maria. My burning regret starting now.
My burning regret is that when I went to see David Partridge... No, what's his name?
Paul Chalmers.
David Cassidy.
Yes! Yes.
So, Paul, your challenge?
Deviation, she was trying to think of David Cassidy, but said David Partridge instead.
Right.
Because she's confused by the fact that David Cassidy appeared in a show called The Partridge Family.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah,
it was well before done. Your time. Congratulations, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, Paul, you have a correct challenge, and you have the subject, and 11 seconds starting now.
I remember seeing Jerry Lee Lewis play here in Tunbridge Wells, and when I refer to him, that great piano player, I think you can realise that, goodness gracious, great balls of fire. What a fantastic rock and roll number. All together.
So Paul Merton with his great balls of fire brought that subject to an end. And he was also speaking with the whistle when gained an extra point. He's now 2 points ahead in the lead. And Maria, will you take the next round? The subject, teenage sweethearts. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Teenage sweethearts are, from my point of view, speaking as a bitter and twisted over the hill Harridan. Really? Over the hill.
Deviation. Look at her. Just look at her.
Look at her. I won't allow that either.
Thank you so much.
And the audience endorse it. There's nothing Harridan about you, my darling. No. So, Kit, you have the subject as a correct challenge. 54 seconds. Teenage sweethearts. All right, I'll tell you what I'll do.
No, I don't want it.
Because she isn't a Harridan. You have a bonus point because it was a correct challenge.
Yes.
But I think Maria should carry on.
I think she should.
She was being modest.
Yes.
She was
the benefit of a doubt, I think.
No.
What? What did he say?
There's no doubt about it. She is not a Harridan. 54 seconds, Maria. Teenage sweethearts are starting now.
Teenage sweethearts can only serve to remind us of our lost loves, our broken dreams, our shattered promises, and...
Clement Chance.
3 hours.
Three hours, yes.
One was spelt H-O-U-R-S.
It sounded that long, but it...
Oh, he has an acid tongue, doesn't he? Right. 46 seconds for you, Clement, on teenage sweethearts, starting now.
It is wholly wrong to... consist of rumours that Nicholas Parsons and I were teenage sweethearts. We were fond of each other.
Maria, challenge.
I was just starting to feel a bit sick, that's all.
It made me sick as well.
That's repetition. 2-6.
Maria, you felt a bit sick. You interrupted. The audience liked it. A bonus point to Maria. But Clement, it was an incorrect challenge. And you move forward. You're equal with Paul at this moment. You still have the subject. You have teenage sweethearts. You have 36 seconds, starting now.
She was the daughter of a duke, which is enough for me.
Paul challenged.
Well, that was hesitation.
That was hesitation, Paul. Yes, you're quite right. And you have 31 seconds now to tell us something about teenage sweethearts starting now.
It's often said that our first loves are the ones that we remember mostly for the rest of our lives. And I suppose that might well be true in my case. I won't mention the particular person because she probably has no idea that my heart was lost to her back in the early 1970s. What a one...
Maria, challenge.
I do.
Oh, Maria, how charming. And I don't think it was you, so what we have to say. is that you get a bonus point because the audience enjoyed your interruption, but Paul was interrupted, so he gets another point, and he has 16 seconds. Teenage Sweethearts starting now.
Now to come to think of it, it was Maria. Shepherd's Bush cost me £16, but what a wonderful night it was. We went to the fun fair, we ate candy floss, we went on the...
Good challenge.
Awful lot of wee's then.
Yeah. And
we and wents as well. Yeah, wee and
we
wents.
Were young, we were excited.
Kit, in with Teenage Sweetheart, 7 seconds available starting now.
I'm terribly afraid that this Teenage Sweetheart I enjoyed here in Tunbridge Wells.
Paul, sorry, teenage, do we have Steenage? Yeah.
Steam, it was a Steam Age Sweetheart. Steam Age. Yes, it was a Steam Age Sweetheart. It was a long time ago, my Teenage Sweetheart.
There's nothing wrong in a Steam Age Sweetheart, really, is there?
No.
The subject was actually teenage. So yeah. What is your chance?
Deviation, because he said steam age.
Yes, it's deviation from the subject. All right, Paul, there are 5 seconds on Teenage Sweetheart starting now.
Isambard Kingdom Brunel was my steam age sweetheart. What a man!
Right.
Well, that's terrible. I mean, if I'm not allowed a steam age sweetheart, how can he have one?
Well, exactly.
Exactly.
So you've got it back.
Exactly.
And you've got the team age sweetheart. You've got 1 second on steam age sweetheart. Starting now.
She's 86 and she's here.
So Kit hits with Arby, another point for Speakers of Whistleway, and he's got another points in the round. He's moved forward. He's 2 points behind Paul Merton. He's 2 ahead of Clement Freud and 3 or 4 ahead of Maria McKernan. That's the situation as you go into the next round, which is Paul's turn to begin. Paul, the tricks of the trade. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, if the trade in question is playing just a minute, I suppose there may be a few tricks. If you talk at such a speed, it feels like you're about to slow down to an absolute halt, but somehow keep going. That's one of the tricks of the trade, because you've eaten up a certain amount of time. Another trick of the trade when playing this marvellous game is to use a singular of the word and then a plural just a moment later, and people think you've said the same thing twice. For example, exhibition and exhibitions. I know this is exceedingly dull, but the question is, these are the tricks of the trade. Another trick of the trade is the word Clement with your foot.
Clement has challenged.
Repetition of trick.
Yes, because the somebody on the card is tricks of the trade.
Oh, well
and
done.
And you said trick twice.
I don't believe you.
Well, it is true.
And I'm
you
sure did.
Right, Clement, you've got in with 24 seconds on tricks of the trade starting now.
Tricks of the trade, in just a minute, are quite usefully applied to questioning the amount of time the chairman, Nicholas Parsons, who has always been in that position, I would like to tell you, gives you to speak for without hesitation, repetition or deviation. The trick was...
Kit Chandler.
Sorry, I thought it was a hesitation, but it wasn't.
Was a hesitation.
Well, it was borderline, wasn't it?
It was borderline, yes.
I was quite interested. I was mesmerised.
Yeah.
I
was...
He's a very compelling speaker.
I wondered what was coming next.
So, Kit, you have the benefit of the doubt. You have 6 seconds. Tricks of the trade starting now.
The best trick of the trade in just a minute, of course, is to come in just before the...
Maria Challenge.
He actually did another steam steet heart. He said, just a minute. No?
Yes,
no.
Kit, what do you want to say?
I don't think that was right. I'd like to challenge myself
repetition
on repetition of just.
Yeah. No, I was just joking on the first bit. I knew that it was repetition of just.
So, Maria, you have 2 seconds on tricks of the trade starting now.
The tricks of the trade are...
Clement challenged.
Repetition of osteopaths.
Yeah, I heard that.
No, that's fair enough.
Very good challenge, very good challenge. only a real seasoned player could pick that one. Excellent challenge.
Which is another trick of the trade, isn't it?
Exactly. Very good challenge, wasn't it, Nicholas?
No, because it gets a bonus point. That's what he wants.
Oh, yeah.
Because the audience enjoyed it. Another trick that would be sufficiently outrageous or ridiculous, and the audience laugh, and so the chairman is generous and gives bonus points. But, Maria, you were interrupted, so you have 1 second on tricks of the trade starting now. Kitchen.
Hesitation.
No, average tickets. Another point, Maria. Half a second. Tricks of the trade starting now.
The tricks of my...
So, This is interesting.
Yes.
Because we're moving into the last round.
Yes.
And it is a terribly even contest.
Terribly.
Kit Hesketh-Harvey, Maria McCurlin and Clement Freud are equal in second place, only 1 point behind our leader, Paul Merton.
Oh.
And Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. Oh, what a lovely subject is this, to maybe bring the show to a close. Why I love each and every one of you. I should explain to our listeners that that laugh is increased because everybody's sort of swiveled their chairs around a little and are now peering intently at Clement Freud as he starts on that subject with 60 seconds to go, starting now.
In this theatre, there are said to be 998 seats. And why I love each and every one of you is quite simply because I'm not going to be able to, at my age, get round to having any sort of realistic relationship with any of you. And I'm delighted about that because loving each and every one of you would be boring, tiresome, annoying, and some people haven't washed. I know that because I stood in a queue getting into this place in Royal Tunbridge Wells, which I'm so pleased. It was called by that august name in 1909, dating back to Queen Victoria. It's pretty unusual.
Kit Challenge.
It's a terrible deviation, isn't
Why?
It? Well, he's talking about the history of Tunbridge Wells, isn't he?
Yes, but he was talking
because
about...
Because I love each and every one of them.
I think, to my mind, he established that he did love each and every one of the people in Tunbridge Wells, but he was finding it difficult. And, but he was keeping going, so, Clement, benefit of the doubt, 13 seconds, why I love each and every one of you, starting now.
As for loving each and every one of the people on this panel, let me begin with Nicholas Parsons, go on to Paul Merton, and then explain how very fond of myself I am.
Clement Freud started with the subject and he kept going in spite of one interruption and finished with the subject. He went magnificently. He gained an extra point for speaking. The whistle went and he's just gone ahead of the other three who are equal in second place. But he now, we say, 1 point ahead of Paul Merton and two ahead of the others. You, Clement, are our winner this week. So, that remains me to say thank you to these four intrepid and delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Kit Hesketh-Harvey, Maria McCurlin, and Clement Freud. I thank Charlotte Davies, who's helped me keep the score. She's blown a whistle with elegance when the 60 seconds were up. We thank our producer, Talusha Gilani, and we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this delightful game. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience here in Tunbridge Wells, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. We've enjoyed ourselves. So from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel, goodbye! Tune in the next time we play... Just a minute.